أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. We were discussing a hadith from Imam Hussein alayhi salam with regards to ma'rifatullah and the purpose of the creation. I read the hadith again. خرج الحسين بن علي عليه السلام على أصحابه. He came to his companions. فقال أيها الناس, O people, إن الله جل ذكره ما خلق العباد إلا ليعرفوه. Allah has not created man but to know him. فإذا عرفوه عبدوه. And when they know him, to worship him. فإذا عبدوه استغنوا بعبادته عن عبادة من سواه. And when they worship him, they will become needless of worshiping anyone else through his worship, through his ibadah. Now, two questions that I posed last night that we have to address tonight, inshallah. One is that how ma'rifatullah is possible although Allah cannot be encompassed. And secondly, is ibadah first and ma'rifah second, or is ma'rifah first and ibadah second? Which one comes first? In the Quran, of course, we have this verse, so it's very important for us to know the verse in Surah Dhariyat, which says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created man and jinn and ins, but to worship me. And of course, this is not for me, this is for you, because مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ. I do not seek any rizq from you, or I don't want you to feed me. I am myself sustainer of everything. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Now, is ma'rifatullah possible, or how is it possible? First of all, from the hadith that we mentioned from Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam earlier, he said that لا يدرك بالحواس. By hawas, by senses, he cannot be comprehended. You cannot comprehend God with your senses. His creation, yes, you can comprehend some of his creation by your senses, but not himself. What does that mean? What's the implication of that? The implication of that is that science never, ever can catch Allah. No matter how deep you go in science, you cannot catch Allah. You cannot have a ma'rifah of him. You can be guided to him. That's why Allah calls the world to be his science. Science, maybe science has come from science, huh? Science leads us to signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not to him as knowing him. We do not know him. We realize that there is someone behind all these. Who is that someone? Science cannot tell us. Because science is to do with hawas, with senses. We have to detect things under our experiments, under our senses, detect them now, either directly or indirectly. Now it's very complicated to bring something to our senses, has become very, very complicated, especially when we are dealing with very far away things or very small particles. The senses directly cannot catch them, then we have mediation so that the senses can catch them, but it's all senses which work there. So one aspect of science, which is experimenting with our senses, this cannot catch Allah. The other aspect of science is comparison. We compare things with each other. We categorize, compare, categorize, classify. This is the way we do. And Imam alayhi salam said, "Wala yughasu bin nas." You cannot compare him with anything. So if you cannot compare him, and if the senses cannot catch him, science never can reach him. As I said, the deeper we go in science, the more complicated we find the creation of Allah, the more amazed and surprised we become, and the more we say subhanallah. If we have faith, if we don't have faith, science doesn't show us anything. It's just an indication for those who detect signs. This is a very beautiful term used in the Quran. Inna fi dhalika la ayatin lil mutawassimin in Surah Hijr. There are signs in this for those who detect signs. Detect signs. And in this way, history can lead us to God, signs of God. Death and life can lead us to God. They are all signs of God. Everything in this world is sign of God. In a sense, everything is this world. In this world is Ayatullah, Ayatullah, a sign of God, everything. I tell you, I am an Ayatullah, you are an Ayatullah, everyone is Ayatullah. A sparrow is Ayatullah, a flower is Ayatullah. Ayatullah in the sense, in the literal sense, the sign of God. These are signs of God. But these do not lead us to a knowledge of God himself. You cannot catch them by senses. So has Allah installed any other faculty in us? You cannot see things by your ear, and you cannot hear things by your eyes, because these are faculties special for certain detections. Is there a faculty in human being to detect God himself, not signs of God? Not signs of God. To detect God himself. Is there a faculty in human being for that? Yes. And this is the beauty of human being. This is the caliber of human being that Allah has given us. There is a faculty in us that can detect and know God. Now, we will discuss about that problem of encompassing. That knowledge means to encompass something. So, do we really encompass God? Can we comprehend him? We'll come to that later on. But there is a faculty in human being that can detect God. It's a beautiful hadith, hadith Qudsi, which says, لا يسعني أرضي ولا سمائي. My earth and my heavens, my skies that I've created cannot contain me. Cannot contain me. ولكن يسعني قلب عبدي المؤمن. The heart of a believer can contain me. So this alludes us to the idea that the faculty that Allah mentions, which can detect him, is qalb, is the heart, whatever it means. We have to actually use it as identical with human soul. We are not talking about the physical qalb. When we talk about qalb, we are talking about the soul of human being. There is a faculty in man which can detect him. And of course, that faculty is there in everyone. However, they have to use it. Everyone has eyes. However, if they close it, they cannot see. If they open it, they can see. If there is some infection in the eye, they cannot see. If the eye goes blind, they cannot see. The heart is the same thing. It can see God. Now, when we say see, it's just like saying that our ears can see sounds. We have no other term for it. Otherwise, Seeing, vision is not the right term. Seeing is for hawas, for the senses, for the eye. When we say the heart sees God, it's just a metaphor. That means comprehends, because God cannot be seen. God is comprehended by the heart. A knowledge of God comes to the heart, to human soul. This is how God could be known, comprehended. You have heard this hadith. Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam was asked, have you seen God? Have you seen Rabbuk, your Lord? He said, I never have worshipped a Lord that I have not seen. That means right from childhood I was seeing the Lord. Again, I don't need to repeat again and again. When we say seeing, we are talking about the vision of the heart, that faculty which is in man, to catch God. And catching is a very literal term which is used in Arabic as well. It catches God. Now, he said, I never have worshipped a Lord that I have not seen. And then he said, maybe you are mistaken what I mean by seeing. لا تدركه الأبصار بمشاهدة العيون. Of course, the absar, the eyes, cannot catch him by vision, because of course he is beyond matter. The eyes cannot catch him by vision. ولكن تدركه القلوب. The hearts catch. This dark means to catch, isn't it? تدركه القلوب. The hearts can catch him. By what? Well, every human have heart. Why not everyone can see? ولكن تدركه القلوب بحقائق الإيمان. Now, إيمان, how can we define iman? I don't think anyone can define iman. It's very difficult to define faith. How it comes, how it goes, why some people have it, why some people don't have it. It's a very complicated thing, very complicated. However, when you have faith in the heart, that faith has haqa'iq, realities. And it's through that faith that God could be comprehended. Gradually, you just feel he's there. You just feel he's there. Okay, just like all of us. Just we feel that he's there. We know that he's there, but we have no knowledge of him yet. When iman goes higher, then you don't just feel that he's there. You feel his presence. And that's what makes people humble. The people who feel God's presence, they are humbled. I remember Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, in one of his speeches, which became very famous later on, he said, he was, I don't know who he was addressing, a group of people, maybe officials and government officials and something like that, and he said that, remember, this world is mahdar of God. This is where God is present. Do not sin in presence of God. Now, if anyone but Imam Khomeini would have said it, I would have said, okay, this is just repeating whatever other people say. But when he said it, it came to the heart, because he himself was a man of feeling the presence of God. And when he says, this world is the presence of God, is in presence of God. Whatever you do is before, you do it before God. Now, for those with lower iman, they do not realize this all the time. But for those with higher iman, they realize it. Still, is this knowledge of God? No. Still, this is not knowledge of God. This is just feeling his presence. feeling His presence, then your faith goes higher. This حقائق الإيمان, degrees of faith, it goes higher. And then suddenly you feel, this is what there is no explanation for. How can someone explain how God is? There is no word for it. They just feel it in their heart. They see in their hearts. They see in their hearts how God is. And of course, if someone reaches this degree, they are so humbled, that they live like Jesus Christ. I mean, the description that has come about Jesus Christ, whether in the Bibles or in our traditions, it shows that this man had God in front of his eyes all the time. Or like Amirul Mu'mineen, like the Prophet, peace be upon him. They had a knowledge of him. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَا. It's only ulama. This ulama is not ulama like Isaac Newton or Charles Darwin who are buried in Westminster Abbey. No. The ulama which have knowledge of God. If they have knowledge of God, then of course they become humble. They become humbled in a way that as soon as you say something good about them, they are afraid. They are afraid. Just look. Why they are afraid? Because they feel that they are nothing, no one. Why some people would give them a compliment? Why? It's famous in some of the present Bibles, in other apocryphal Bibles as well. Someone called Isa, Ya Saleh, Ya Saleh, oh, you pious man. He trembled. He said, you call me Saleh. Who is Saleh before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who is Saleh? This is a man who has caught Allah in his heart. This is the man. Or when someone offered a compliment to Amirul Mu'mineen, what he said? He said, certainly, I am much lower in reality. But the way you think about me, I'm higher above the way you think about me, but in reality, I'm no one. Because we are all completely dependent on God. Look what is mentioned in this second part of Dua Arafah. The second part of Dua Arafah, I don't know whether you have seen that or not. Dua Arafah is one long piece, and then there is a smaller piece which comes after one. After that, in some of the books, not in all of the books, and people dispute whether this is from Imam Hussein or not from Imam Hussein, but the meanings are excellent. And some people say you don't need the sanad for this because this shows the knowledge. He says, this is a man who feels, not only feels the presence of God, who has caught. The heart has caught God. Now, how then are we compromising the unlimitedness of God? We will discuss this later. Just remember this, we'll discuss it later. He says, Elahi, kayfa astaiz wa fi dhillati arkastani. How can I seek dignity while you have placed me in the center of humility, in the center of humility? Why? Because I am absolutely dependent on you. And if someone has nothing but dependence, that's absolute humility, isn't it? كَيْفَ أَسْتَعِزُّ وَفِي الذِّلَّةِ أَرْكَسْتَنِي. You have placed me in the center of dhillah. I do not complain about it. Why? Because وَكَيْفَ لَا أَسْتَعِزُّ وَإِلَيْكَ نَسَبْتَنِي. How I do not seek dignity while you have added me, attached me to yourself, although I have absolute dependence, but look to whom, on whom I am dependent, on you. When people say, who are you? If I look at myself, I'm no one, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. But if I say, Ana Abdullah, I am servant of God, my Lord is God, then I'm everyone. I'm very high. I'm very high. No one can reach that dignity, in that equal dignity with someone who is Abdullah, servant of God. Ilahi kafa bi yazzan an akuna laka abda. This dignity is enough for me that I am called your servant. Don't look at me who am a servant. Look at to whom I have been attached. To you, to God. وَكَيْفَ لَهَاسْتَعِزُ وَإِلَيْكَ نَسَبْتَنِي. You have attached me to yourself. Then he says, إِلَهِ كَيْفَ أَفْتَقِرْ كَيْفَ لَا أَفْتَقِرْ. How can I say that I'm not poor? وَفِي الْفُقَرَاءِ أَقَمْتَنِي. You have made me sit among fuqara. Who are the fuqara? Everyone is fuqara. Jibreel is faqir. Mikael is faqir. Israfil is faqir. Rasulullah is faqir. Isa is faqir. Ibrahim is faqir. Why? Because ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. Everyone is in need of Allah. Wallahu huwal ghaniyyul hamid. He is the one who has no need. And the more you have, the more in need of God you are. That's why Rasulullah said, Al-Faqru Fakhri. This faqr is my dignity, because this means, don't look that I need. Look to whom I take my need. That's my dignity. So, he says, إِلَهِ كَيْفَ لَا أَفْتَقِرْ وَفِي الْفُقَرَاءِ أَقَمْتَنِي وَكَيْفَ أَفْتَقِرْ. And how can I say that I'm poor? وَبِجُودِكَ أَغْنَيْتَنِي. With your generosity, you have given so much that if I say I'm poor, I have lied. And if any one of us say that we are poor, we have lied. We are not poor. Allah has given us so much, so much. We cannot thank Him. The soul that He has given us, the heart that He has given us, which is our way to Him, we are very rich. There's a hadith which says, whoever is given the knowledge of the Quran, whoever is given the knowledge of the Quran, and then thinks that someone is richer than him, they have لَقَدْ حَقَّرَ عَظِيمًا وَسَخَّرَ كَبِيرًا. لَقَدْ حَقَّرَ عَظِيمًا وَكَبَّرَ صَغِيرًا. They have diminished the value of something which is so big, and they have given high value to something which has no value, which is so cheap, if you are given the knowledge of the Quran. Now, if you are given Ma'rifatullah, what? Read the Bible. When I say read the Bible, because although there are deviations on these things, but when you hear the preachings of Isa, you find out, yes, yes, this resonates. This is the same thing. When he talked to his Hawariyun, to his disciples, that you go and preach, he said, do not take with you any provision, because God would provide for you. Do not take with you any bread or anything. Why? Just to say that you are so rich, you have been given so much that you have to despise whatever people are vying for, are competing for, are fighting for. You just put these things aside. You are given ma'rifatullah. وَكَيْفَ أَفْتَقَرْ وَمِنْ جُودِكَ أَخْنَيْتَنِي. So, this is the attitude of a man, of a person, who has caught some knowledge of God. And you know why mystics go through all those hardships to find out something? They just want to get these glimpses of knowledge of God, which is very precious. And we are told, when you taste just one little bit of that knowledge, then everything in the world would become so mean to you, so cheap. Everything would just fall from your eyes. Nothing has value anymore. When you taste that little bit of knowledge, when you taste it. And what will you have in Jannah, inshallah? What will you have in Jannah is that knowledge. Now, with that knowledge, anyone is bored? Impossible. It's just like saying God is bored. Well, God has been living from eternity to, and will live until eternity. No change. And he's never bored, of course. Why? Because he's so full of whatever we don't know. And this is what we are going to know, inshallah. Now, coming back to the question, of, okay, how can hearts comprehend God? I hope it's clear by now that this is a faculty in human being, which is switched off, unfortunately, in majority. It's switched off. It's just like giving eyes to people and they just close it. It's switched off. In some people, it is turned on. Now, how can we comprehend him? First of all, you never can comprehend the depth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is unfathomable. However, let's come back to science. Do we know this world? Do we know this world? Well, of course we know. I mean, now, just look around, you see lots of things about this world. The more knowledgeable you become, the deeper you become a scientist, you know better how things in this world are produced, how they interact, you know things better. If you are a doctor, you know about body diseases, ailments, and cures, and all these things. So, yeah, we know lots of things about this world. But do we really know this world? No. If this is the case with the creation of Allah, what about Allah himself? Even the creation of Allah is unfathomable. Of course, the creation of Allah can be only captured by senses. This is, of course, the ordinary route. There is another route we discussed last night. But if this is the way we capture the creation of God, capturing or catching God himself is the same. We find different degrees of knowledge of him. Never, of course, no one can fathom the depth of Allah's being. No one. His essence, well, don't talk about his essence. Only his attributes, different depths of his attributes we know. We can know, not we know, we can know. Through the heart. And this is actually the purpose. إِنَّ اللَّهَ, the hadith says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَلَّ ذِكْرُهُ مَا خَلَقَ الْعِبَادَ إِلَّا لِيَعْرِفُوهُ, has created them to know him. Of course, as I said, this is not a comprehensive knowledge. Even the Prophet, peace be on him, used to say, Subhanaka ma arafnaka haqqa ma'rifatak. We never knew you the way you should be known. It's not possible for any human being to have that knowledge. But yes, it can come. That knowledge can come and people can know about God. Can, as I said, not necessarily people do, but they can know about God. And this that can go to different depths. However, one thing is very important to mention here, and that is, do not take God, do not mistake God with the supernatural world. Because most of the time we mistake God with the supernatural world, which is his creation again, the world of angels, the world of the souls. We mistakenly think that anyone having that knowledge has knowledge of God. No, not necessarily. Shaitan has that knowledge, but not knowledge of God. Knowledge of God is different. And especially many of us are inclined towards mystical understanding, to know God, but we end up to knowing different things, not knowing God. We scratch the surface of the supernatural world without knowing what we are scratching, without knowing what we are seeing. There's this famous anecdote, which probably is just a story, but it gives us a very big concept. That once Bayezid, the big mystic, was making wudu, and one of his students was standing, and suddenly the student prostrated and said, Subhan Rabbi al-Azim, Subhan Rabbi al-Azim. And Bayezid said, what did you see? What experience is this? He said, I saw the light of God. He said, poor man, this was the light of my wuzu, not the light of God. You see how, as I said, this may be a story, but this is the reality. People mistake different things which belong to the spiritual world with God himself. Spiritual world is also creation of God. The archangels are creations of God. But still they are eager for knowledge of God. They are eager for knowledge of God, to know him. And they have faculties as well. The angels have faculties, although their faculties are not like ours, but they have faculties to know God in different degrees. However, one final thing for tonight. The faculty which is installed in human being is above and beyond every other creation. Above and beyond every other creation. Angels, yes, above them. Jinn, certainly, the Quran says that jinn have a limit for a spiritual understanding. And that's why they don't have prophets. They follow human prophets. They have prophets, but their prophets follow human prophets. And this is what the Quran explains. When their prophets go to them, they talk about human books. قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ. These are the prophets of jinn. We heard a very amazing Quran recitation. It guides to haq. آمَنَّا بِهِ. We believe in it. They do not receive books because they don't have that high faculty for receiving books. Or in Surah Ahqaf, a different type of jinn, different prophets of jinn. When they go to their people, they say, Ya qawmana, inna sami'na kitaban unzila min ba'di Musa. They are talking about human prophets. This is the faculty which is complete in human beings, not in jinn. Angels, the same thing. Is complete in human being, not in angels. Why I say this, I leave this for tomorrow. Why I say this? I leave this for tomorrow. That the faculty in human being is beyond the faculty of angels. And that is why we usually say human being is above the angels. However, we don't mean the human beings who do not use the faculty are above the angels. No. Those who use that faculty can go above the angels. This, inshallah, we'll explain tomorrow. A companion of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. I don't mention his name because now I hesitate which companion he was. Probably Dawood ibn Kathir. He went to Imam alayhi salam and he was talking to Imam, and Imam became thirsty and he asked for some water. And they brought him some water in a bowl. And Imam drank. He was drinking. When Dawood says that when he brought the bowl down, I saw that tears are flowing from his eyes. I said, Yabna Rasulullah, why do you cry? He said, Ya Dawood, ma anqadha dhikrul Husayn lil-aish. How agonizing is remembrance of Hussein alayhi salam. How it darkens the life. And he said, I never have drank water unless I have remembered my grandfather Hussein alayhi salam, the way he was martyred, thirsty. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to switch on the faculty for his ma'rifah. Inshallah, Allah will provide us with the will to move towards his ma'rifah and to discard unimportant things and go for important things. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.